Good morning and happy Friday. Oh my goodness me. Who's got that Friday feeling? Me. That's who. I am going to bed very, very early tonight because I have to be up very, 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 very early tomorrow. But I am so excited to be going away again. I very rarely go away, so just the thought that I'm going away, oh, excuse me, twice in 2 weeks. Oh, so I hope you're all well. I hope everything is fine this wonderful Friday and that you are almost ready for the weekend. Woo! So, who got the riddle from yesterday? What was the riddle, I hear you ask? Well, as a reminder, it was what begins with a T, ends with a T, and has tea in it. Well, now. A couple of you got the right answer. Just a couple. But the first one to message me with the answer was Stanley. Hello, Stanley. Haven't had a message from you before, so hi, welcome. And your answer was correct, and it was teapot. Oh, that was a little bit of a sneaky one, wasn't it? Starts with a T and ends with a T, but it has the drink tea inside it. So I was a little bit sneaky there. So sorry. Sorry, not sorry. How about today's riddle? I love this one. This one is amazing. So, I didn't know it. I had to read the answer. So, again, I know I'm not very good at riddles, am I? But, hey, diddle diddle, riddle me this. What question can you never answer yes to? I'm sure there's plenty, but I need the right answer. Okay. So, what question can you never answer yes to? Ooh, get your thinking caps on. So, what day is it today? Besides it being Friday and besides it being the last day of September, well, now. For some unknown reason, it is National Chewing Gum Day. I hate chewing gum. Oh, so I won't be celebrating National Chewing Gum Day. Absolutely not. It is, however, also Save the Koala Day. Oh my goodness. We need to save those little cuddly things, even though they are quite vicious, and probably don't want saving. But we're going to save them anyway, regardless of whether they want to. And it's also a very important day, especially important at my work, because I work with cancer people, people who have got the illness cancer. So. It's Macmillan Coffee Morning, so that is a day when cakes and coffee or drinks, hot drinks, but cakes and biscuits are sold. People make them, bring them into the workplace, and they have a sale for, you go and you buy a biscuit or you buy a coffee or something, piece of cake. And all the money goes towards cancer. So it is a very, very important day at our work. And lots of people have brought in or will be taking in cakes and biscuits. And we will be in our little office, well, in the waiting room, probably selling cakes and biscuits and coffee to all the people that pass by. So hopefully we will make a lot of money for our cancer department. So there you go. That is today. So the fun fact of the day is a little bit yucky, and I'm apologising to mummies and daddies everywhere because it's about farting again, honestly. But what child does not like facts about farts? My son does, I know. So did you know there's a fish called a herring? Okay. So herring fish communicate with other herring fish by farting. Wow. I have a feeling that my son, in fact, both of my sons may just be half herring fish, because I think they may communicate by farting too. So when a herring releases gas, in other words, farts, it produces a high frequency sound that only other herring can hear. They use this noise to arrange themselves into protective shoals during the night, keeping them safe from predators. How weird is that? Oh, but it's so cute. Well, not the farting bit, but the arranging themselves into protective shoals bit. That was the cute bit. So I have had a message from an Elsa. Well, it was from Elsa's daddy. And he says that Elsa and him love the stories, which is so nice to hear. I'm glad that it's not just children listening. I'm glad it's families and bringing people together as families. That's really nice. Even though the adults have to listen to me being silly for half an hour. But Elsa has listened to the stories on car journeys, at bedtime, and even when she's ill home from school, which is not nice because we don't like children being ill. But it's nice that she listens to my stories when she's ill. Hi, Elsa. How are you? I hope that you are doing well. And I hope your daddy's doing well too. But she likes the worst witch books. Now, I didn't know what these were. I haven't heard of these ones. But I have looked. And she wanted to know whether we would be reading them any time soon. So there are 7 worst witch books in the series. So I imagine that at some point we will get around to reading them. So we will be saving up. They might be in the library, actually. So when I go to the library next time, I will have a look and see if I can find the first worst witch book, and then we will read them, because I'm quite looking forward to reading them because they look quite good. So there you go, Elsa. You have introduced me to a new set of books. Anyway, I thought that we would go back to the Enchanted Wood and the Faraway Tree and Adventure of the Goblin Dog, and we'd go back and read chapter 5 and find out what happens to the children inside the cuckoo clock, which is what chapter 5 is called, Inside the Cuckoo Clock. So here goes. It was very dark there at first. Outside, the children could hear Grizel and her mother getting crosser and crosser. They're not under the cupboard. They're not in the brick box. They're not in any of the train trucks. Where can they be? Bother them. It's too bad. I can hear our guests arriving downstairs, and now there are no wonderful live dolls to show them. Have they climbed up behind any of the pictures? Then the children heard all the pictures being slightly turned, and they were glad to think that they had slipped inside the cuckoo clock before the giants had thought of looking upwards. They might easily have been seen on the clock whilst they were waiting for the cuckoo. Gradually they began to be able to see what the inside of the cuckoo's little room was like. And then what an enormous surprise they got. It was a proper little room. There was a round table in the middle with a blue check cloth on it. There were chairs about and a shining cupboard in the corner. There was a tiny fire at the back of the room with a small kettle boiling away merrily. And sitting by it on a rocking chair was the cuckoo. Well, at first, the cuckoo thought, the cuckoo was an old woman sitting there knitting. But no, it was most certainly the cuckoo. She had a red shawl thrown over her shoulders. She'd slipped her feet into a pair of old slippers. And there she sat with spectacles on her nose, knitting away for dear life. The children stared and stared. They didn't know what to say or do. This was the most surprising thing they had ever seen. Presently the cuckoo lifted her head and looked at them twinklingly over her spectacles. "Have you quite finished looking at me?" she asked in a soft, cuckooing sort of voice. "Am I such a surprise? Well, I can assure you that you are every bit as much of a surprise to me. This is the first time I've had any visitors since I came here. It is most exciting. We really didn't know you were properly alive and lived in a little room like this," said Mary, finding her voice at last. "We just thought we'd come and hide in the clock." "And a very good idea too," said the cuckoo, knitting away steadily. "Nobody would think of looking for you here. You are quite safe. I heard those giants looking for you down there. I'm glad Grizel didn't find you. She's a careless, spiteful creature. She often forgets to wind up this clock, and then I can't go out of my door for days." "Do you mind us hiding here?" asked Peter. "Oh, not a bit," said the cuckoo. "I tell you, I'm delighted to have someone to talk to. I do get so lonely up here in my little room. What about a bit of tea now? Are you hungry?" "Very," said Peter at once. "Our dinner was only some chocolate cake in the giant's market bag." "Can I help you?" asked Mary politely. "Well, that would be most kind of you," said the cuckoo. "My legs are rather bad today, and I'd be glad to have someone waiting on me for a change. All the tea things are in that cupboard over there. You can make the tea, and the boy can make us some toast. Oh, there are some sausages in the cupboard. We'll fry those too." "Will the giants hear us talking up here?" asked Mary anxiously. "Oh, bless you, no," said the cuckoo comfortably. "They don't know anything about my snug little room here. I heard it was to let years ago and came here, and here I've been ever since, with never a soul to peep in at me or say, how do you do? So long as I cuckoo every half hour and every hour, that's all the giants care about. Soon the children were busy over the tea. Mary set the little table neatly, and Peter made a pile of toast. And then, whilst he fried the sausages, oh, and dear me, how good they smelt, the little girl made the tea. "It's all ready, Mistress Cuckoo," she said. The cuckoo brought her rocking chair to the table and began to pour out the tea. Then she served the sausages, and the children ate them hungrily. "This is a great treat for me," said the kindly cuckoo, beaming at the children down her long beak. "I do enjoy company, and it's years since I had any. Now, where did I put my best strawberry jam? Oh, and those shortbread biscuits I've been saving up." She got up and went to the cupboard. She found a large jar and a big tin. Just as she was about to put them on the table, the children were most astonished to see her turn herself about and rush swiftly to the door. She pushed it open and went out. "Where's she gone?" asked Mary in alarm. "She isn't going to tell the giants about us, is she?" "Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Cuckoo!" called the cuckoo in her loud, clear voice. Then she came back with a rush, slammed the door, and put the jar and the tin on the table. She sank down on her chair and began to laugh. Oh, my," she said. "Do you know, I almost forgot to cuckoo the hour. As it was, I was 2 minutes late. Fancy that." And I went to the door carrying my tin and a jar of jam with my red shawl on. Whatever would the giants have thought if they'd seen me? I really don't know. They would have taken the clock down at once and looked inside my room, there's no doubt. "Then we've had quite an escape," said Peter, rather alarmed. "We won't let you to forget to cuckoo at the half hour, Mistress Cuckoo." "Oh, no, please don't," said the cuckoo, putting out some delicious-looking strawberry jam into a flowered china dish. "I've never forgotten before. It was just the excitement of having visitors that made me forget. Now, do we have some jam with your buttered toast?" The children ate an enormous tea. The jam was lovely, and the shortbread biscuits melted away in their mouths. Peter kept looking at his watch as the time went on. "It's almost the half hour, Mistress Cuckoo," he said suddenly. At once the cuckoo got up, threw off her shawl and slippers, and went to open the door. She cuckooed loudly once and came back again. "The nursery is full of giant children," she said. "It's the party going on, I expect. Can you hear the noise?" The children listened. The cuckoo's room was high up and quiet, but they could quite well hear the shouts and loud, heavy footfalls of the children below. They trembled to think that they might have been down there with them, being handled and squeezed. "Don't look so frightened," said the cuckoo, now quite comfortable again in her shawl and slippers. "You're safe here. Oh, I wish you'd live with me always. I do like you so much." "We'd love to stay with you for a long time," said Mary, smiling at the kindly cuckoo. "But we're trying to rescue someone who has been captured by a wicked gnome. And we mustn't stay too long. Peter, you tell Mistress Cuckoo all about it." "We'd better clear away and wash up first," said Peter, looking at the littered table. So the children set to work, much to the delight of the cuckoo, who had never been waited on before. They soon cleared the table and washed up in a little sink that was neatly hidden by a small red curtain. They put away all the things and then went to sit down by the fire. The cuckoo was rocking herself busily, still knitting. "Now, tell me all about yourselves," she said cosily. "You can't possibly go tonight, so take your time about it. I'm so enjoying having you both." Peter told the cuckoo all about his story, from the dreadful moment when Fenella disappeared to the time when he and Mary had climbed up the clock chains. The cuckoo nodded her head and said, "Oh, dear, dear," now and then. "Well," she said when Peter had finished, "I do think you are too brave, dear children, to set out on such a journey, and I hope you'll find Fenella. I do indeed." "Do you know the best way to get from here to the land of storytellers?" asked Peter. "Is it a very long way?" "Well," said the cuckoo, putting down her knitting, "it is rather a long way. You see, Giant Land is so big that it stretches for miles and miles and miles. I really don't know how you could walk through it without being seen 100 times by the giants." "Oh, dear," said Peter in dismay. "I don't want to be caught by giants again. Once is quite enough." "Oh, I should think so," said the cuckoo. "I suppose there's no way of flying over Giant Land, is there?" asked Mary. "That would be so much better than walking all the way through it." "No, there's no aeroplane or anything," said the cuckoo thoughtfully. "I don't see how you could fly over." Unless
what?"
cried the children excitedly. "Well, unless I took you on my back and flew over Giant Land," said the cuckoo slowly. The children stared at her. "But would you?" asked Peter eagerly. "Well, I don't see why I shouldn't," said the cuckoo, taking off her glasses and looking at the children. "I used to be able to fly very well indeed. I shall have to practice a bit tonight when the giants are all in bed. I could take a few turns around the nursery and see if my wings are as strong as they used to be. Oh, I could fly very swiftly and well when I was younger." Mary jumped up and hugged the cuckoo until she gasped for breath and begged for mercy. "Oh, you're a perfect dear to help us like this," said Mary. "Oh, how lovely it would be if we could miss out the rest of Giant Land by flying right over it. I don't like the giants one bit." "Well, now, we can't do anything about it just yet," said the cuckoo, rolling up her knitting and putting it into a black bag. "How about a game of snap? Oh, it's ages since I had a good game with anyone." "Oh, let's, cried the children. So the cuckoo got out a pack of curious snap cards, all with giant families on them, and they sat around the table and played until they were tired. Every half hour the cuckoo had to get up and rush to the door to cuckoo. And once she took her snap cards with her, she was in such a hurry. How they all laughed when she came back looking flustered and hot. "Do you know, I nearly called Snap instead of Cuckoo," she said to the children. "Whatever would the giants have thought?" That made the children laugh even more. They had a lovely game until the cuckoo said it was time to stop and have supper. Mary and Peter put her in her rocking chair again and said they would manage supper. "There's a jam tart in the cupboard and you'll find some cream in a blue jug," said the cuckoo, getting out her knitting again. "Make a hot jug of cocoa. That will suit us all nicely." They had supper all together, joking and laughing. There was gooseberry jam in the tart, plenty of sugar in the cocoa. It was great fun. After that, the children cleared away and washed up. Then Mary yawned.
"Aha! It's bedtime for you," said the cuckoo.
"Oh, no, do let me see you fly around the nursery," begged Mary. "Very well," said the cuckoo. "I'll just go and peep out to see if everything is safe." She went to her little door and pushed it open. The nursery was dark, except for some light that came in from the landing outside, where a big lamp burnt. It "It's quite safe, I think," said the cuckoo, peeping out. She took off her shawl, which was wrapped round her wings and prevented her from spreading them properly. Peter and Mary went to the door and watched. The cuckoo spread her wings and launched herself into the air. Round and round the nursery she went, flapping her wings. At last she came back quite delighted. "My wings are even stronger because of the long rest I've had," she said, pleased. "I shall be able to carry you both very easily. Just half a minute." She turned to the nursery and cuckooed loudly 10 times. It was 10 o'clock. "Now," she said briskly, wrapping herself up in her shawl again and slamming the door. "Now it's time for bed. We must all get to sleep quickly, because my plan is that we set out at dawn when all the giants are still asleep. With luck, we should reach the land of storytellers about 8 o'clock, and I can be back in my clock before lunchtime. Perhaps no one will notice I'm not cuckooing. Very often, the giants are out all the morning shopping." The children were happy and very sleepy. Mary could hardly keep her eyes open. "Where shall we sleep?" asked Peter, looking all around. He could not see a bed anywhere. The cuckoo went to the wall and pressed a little knob. A panel slid aside and the cuckoo pulled out a neat little bed, complete with blankets and pillows. "Oh, you have to hide things away when your room is as small as mine," she said. "Now, there's just room for the two of you there. Undress and get in quickly, or you'll fall asleep where you're standing."
"Oh, but where will you sleep?" asked Mary.
"Oh, in my rocking chair," said the cuckoo. "I often take a nap there. I've got to be out of my door cuckooing every half hour, so my nights are never very peaceful. Now hurry up, both of you." Soon the children were tucked up in the small but very soft and comfortable bed. They closed their eyes and fell fast asleep in 2 minutes. The cuckoo sat down in her rocking chair and took up her knitting. She was very happy. It was such a treat to have two friendly, cheerful visitors. She would remember this day for years and years. At dawn, she awakened the sleeping children. "Time to be off," she said. "I've made some hot coffee for us, and there's some bacon and eggs cooking. They will be ready by the time you're dressed." Oh, the children smelt the good smell of frying bacon and hot coffee. They dressed quickly and were soon sitting down at the little round table, enjoying their breakfast. "There's not a soul awake in the house," said the cuckoo, drinking her coffee. "Not a soul. We shall be able to fly off without anyone seeing us." "What's that funny noise?" asked Mary, listening to a strange throbbing noise that rose and fell all the time.
"Oh, that's just the giant snoring," said the cuckoo. "They all do that. Now, what about some marmalade with your toast, Peter?" They all made a good breakfast, and then the cuckoo gave some apples to the children to take with them. She shook off her shawl and gave it to Mary. "I can't fly with it on," she said, "but you'd better use it as a rug to cover yourselves when you're on my back. The morning air is chilly. I shall keep my slippers on. I do have such dreadful chilblains if I don't. Now, are we ready?" The children took a last look around the dear little room where they had been so kindly treated. Then they climbed onto the cuckoo's broad back and wrapped the red shawl around them. The cuckoo opened the door, told them to hold tight, and spread her wings. Off they went into the air, circling around the nursery. The window was a little bit open at the top, and the cuckoo flapped neatly through the crack and out into the cold morning air. The sun was just rising, and everything was touched with gold.
"Isn't this fun?" shouted Peter to Mary. "Weren't we lucky to find such a kind friend?"
Mary huddled herself into the shawl, for the morning was certainly cold. She smiled at Peter and then looked down at Giant Land. It was a strange place in the early sunlight. The houses towered up like enormous castles. The windows seemed endless and shone brilliantly in the sun. The streets were very wide, and the cats that lay about here and there were as big as donkeys. On and on flew the cuckoo, flapping her strong wings. For hour after hour she flew, and the children grew a little sleepy again, for they had not had a very long night. Mary yawned. The cuckoo heard her and turned her head. "Why don't you try to get a nap?" she called in her soft cuckooing voice. "You will be quite safe on my back if you tuck your feet well into the folds of my wings." So for some while the children slept, their feet tucked into the warm folds of the cuckoo's wings and their hands clinging to her neck feathers. The sun rose higher and beat down warmly. Mary awoke suddenly, feeling far too hot. She sat up and shook off the shawl. Then she woke Peter in excitement.
"Peter, I do believe we're out of Giant Land now. Look down, the houses are no longer big."
They looked down. It was quite true. They had passed right over Giant Land and were now in another land. They called to the cuckoo.
"Yes," she said, "we are over the land of storytellers now. I'm taking you to the marketplace, as you will no doubt find plenty of people there to ask about the gnome Sly One. We shall be there in 2 minutes. In a short time, the cuckoo flew down to a crowded marketplace where gnomes of all kinds bought and sold, chattering and calling at the tops of their hoarse voices. The children jumped off the cuckoo's back. "Thank you ever and ever so much," they said earnestly. "You have been good to us."
"Not at all, not at all," said the cuckoo. "I've been delighted to have you. Now I must say goodbye and get back quickly, or the giants will miss me."
The children felt sad at parting with such a good friend. Mary kissed the cuckoo on her beak and tucked her red shawl under her wing for her to take back. The cuckoo's eyes were full of tears, for she had liked the two children very much indeed.
"Goodbye, my dears, goodbye," she said. "Take care of yourselves and find that little princess soon. Perhaps you will forget her today."
"Goodbye," cried the children and waved to the cuckoo as she rose into the air, her slippered feet tucked well under her and a little bit of the red shawl hanging down from under her wing. They watched her until they could see her no longer. Then they turned to look at the marketplace. Now the next thing to do was to find out where Sly One, the gnome, lived. Well, they are in the land of storytellers at last. So maybe they will soon find Princess Fenella. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. Well, anyway, tomorrow I will be, probably reading very, very, very early, because I have to get up about 3:30 in the morning. So my first thing will be to get showered and dressed and breakfasted. Well, no, probably not even breakfasted, because I won't be hungry at that time. Then I will read, and then I will get all my bits ready to put in the car. So maybe ready very early tomorrow. Anyway, you have a brilliant day today. And I've got hiccups. I do apologise.
And don't forget the riddle. We need the answer. What question can you never answer yes to? Well, think hard about it. And someone send me a message with the answer. Right. I am going to go and I'm going to cheat today because I'm going to go and buy some cakes to take into work. So people can have coffee and cakes in aid of cancer. So you all have an amazing day, but make sure that you stay safe and take care. And I get that the wrong way round, didn't I? Take care and stay safe. And I will see you all again tomorrow very early. Okay? So bye for now.